When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome to the Wolverine Confidential Podcast. I'm Andrew Kahn.
I'm Ryan Zook.
And I'm Aaron McMahon.
On this episode, we talk about Michigan baseball coach Eric Backich reportedly taking another job, possible transfer portal additions for Michigan basketball, football recruiting news, and even some movie talk coming up on Wolverine Confidential. All right, guys, good to be talking with you here Wednesday morning, June 15th. And we've got some real news to discuss, and that's Eric Backich, the baseball coach at Michigan, reportedly leaving to go to Clemson. That's where he began his coaching career in 2002 as a volunteer assistant. He went to Vanderbilt as an assistant for the next 7 years from there. Got his first head job at Maryland, was there from 2010 to 2012, and was hired at Michigan in 2013. And after 10 years, Ryan, it seems like he's gone.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be a huge loss, but it's not very surprising. I mean, with the success he has had in Ann Arbor, this isn't the first time other schools have come calling, but Clemson has the resources. It's a program with a rich history, and obviously there's a connection there from his time as a graduate assistant. So everything appeared to line up, and he'll reportedly get a nice little raise out of this as well. I mean, he was making about $400,000 in base salary at Michigan. Annual total compensation was about $600,000 in his latest deal that was set to expire after the 2024 season. So, that's a lot of money for a baseball coach he'll be in the hotbed of college baseball, and I'm sure his recruiting acumen will continue there, and I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, that program hasn't made the tournament in 2 years after making it an 11 in a row. I wouldn't be surprised to see him get things back up and running there pretty quickly.
I guess we'll learn more once it, you know, becomes official, maybe has a press conference. But as far as, you know, whether Michigan could have done anything to keep him, obviously the main thing would be just giving him more money. But who knows if they couldn't quite get to where Clemson was, or even if they could. Yeah, like you say, there could have just been other factors of just getting to a place where it was, I don't know, easier to win, and I don't know, more of a traditional baseball school, I guess.
Right. And another thing too, I mean, it's tough to maintain or keep coaches in the northern part of the country because they don't generate as much revenue as some of these schools down south. Like there's some baseball programs that are self-sustaining in the south because it's such a big draw for fans. Mm-hmm. That's just not the case at Michigan. No matter how successful they are, no matter if they're the top-ranked team in the preseason, it's hard to get people to come out in March and April when it's 40 degrees outside and crappy out. So it's always – the northern schools are always going to be at a disadvantage for baseball and softball. Obviously, softball has been quite lucky with Carroll Hutchins. But yeah, it's tough to maintain that. And, I mean, we'll see what happens. But, again, this isn't – all that surprising. I know Backich has always said he's loved his time at Michigan. He loves being there, but again, money talks and the ability to play in that rich baseball environment, I'm sure, is attractive to many coaches.
And I think this raises maybe a bigger question pertaining to Michigan baseball, but can it be a regular College World Series contender like some of these Southern schools? Because if the answer to that question is no, then it makes sense as to why Eric Backich would move on. I mean, in a way, he's kind of capped out what he can do at Michigan. He's gotten them to the College World Series. He's gotten them to the NCAA tournament several times now. They've been a contender in the Big Ten, it seems like, every year now. He's probably made the most out of the situation. You talk about the weather, the different weather and the different, sustainability of some of these programs and the commitment level and everything else. And he's done about, I think, as well as you could expect at a northern school, and you know, a situation like Michigan where there is a lot of money and resources, but the weather and the, you know, commitment level and just recruiting is just a different ball game. And you know, it makes sense. You know, you've done very well at where you're at. A bigger program with more money comes calling. It makes sense why you would listen and potentially leave.
Yeah, and remember too, even that 2019 season, it's not like they were one of the top teams during the regular season. I mean, they were the last team to earn an at-large bid, and then just got hot at the right time. And I mean, it was one of the most astonishing runs in College World Series history. I mean, they really had no business being there, but again, had three strong starting pitchers, a couple of big strong bullpen arms, and a lineup that got hot at the right time. And it was just like one of those things where they just, the confidence was just blooming. So, and then, yeah, I mean, they entered the next year as a top 10 team, and it was cut short by COVID. And I mean, even this year, a really strong offense, but pitching struggled. So it's tough to maintain that success. That 2019 team was just the second Big Ten team since 1984 to reach the College World Series. So it doesn't happen very often. The path to the College World Series will always be easier at a Southern school. That Michigan did reel in a top 10 recruiting class in 2017. A lot of those guys played a key role in helping them reach that 2019 World Series, but to do that every year is just not sustainable at a Northern school.
He leaves with about a .600 winning percentage overall at Michigan and in Big Ten games. Missed the NCAA tournament his first 2 years, but then got Michigan there five of the next, seven NCAA tournaments that were played, including, as you guys mentioned, that magical run to the College World Series final in 2019. This year they made it into the tournament, but could not get out of their regional with a kind of heartbreaking, controversial loss.
That'll be a memorable last game, that's for sure.
Yeah,
that's wild way to go out.
Absolutely. So too early to talk about replacements. Could it be in-house? Will they look elsewhere? Or, will kind of...
It is pretty early right now, but I mean, it sounds like, I mean, at the top of the list would be Chris Fetter, the pitching coach for the Detroit Tigers. Obviously, he's a Michigan alum, spent a few years as the pitching coach under Backich. It's just you just don't know if college head coaching job is as attractive as a MLB pitching coaching job. We'll have to see. But I think that he would be at the top of their list at this point. But again, it is really early in the process. So we'll see. There will be other candidates to emerge. But I think at right now that he would be the top target.
I have no inside knowledge on a potential coaching search, but I have to think maybe they would at least kick the tires on Brandon Inge. I mean, he was a volunteer assistant the last couple of years. He was a former major leaguer. I don't know how he would do recruiting, but I think he would be an interesting name to kind of throw out there too.
His son is set to join the team either this next year or the year after that too. He is a Michigan commit. So there is some connection there, but again, yeah, very, very little coaching experience, just the 2 years as a volunteer assistant at Michigan. So it would be a pretty big leap, but all the players I've talked to this year and last year about him have absolutely loved him in the clubhouse, has that Major League Baseball experience. So it could work. It would be a little bit of a gamble though, in my opinion.
Well, tough loss for Michigan, but he left the program better than he found it, as they say. And I don't know, maybe makes it more attractive job for someone to consider it now going forward. It's been shown it can be done. You can win at a high level at Michigan. All right. As we said, we've got other things to talk about as well. The Michigan men's basketball team, we'll say quickly, they have not, added anyone yet through the transfer portal, besides Jalen Llewellyn, a while back, but have not added anyone since Caleb Houston and Musa Diabate officially left for the NBA. Talking to some people inside the program, I think they will add someone. Who that will be remains to be seen, but Joey Baker of Duke did visit. He played 12 minutes a game at Duke last season. If you don't really remember him in the NCAA tournament, that's because he played 5 minutes in the opener, and then not again, during their run. 6'6" wing player, kind of small forward type, 38% shooter from three. That's kind of what is, attractive to other teams. He's experienced, 4 year player. So he's using that extra COVID year. He was a captain at Duke last year. And he also visited reportedly Georgia and George Washington. So, there's other teams that are interested, but Michigan seems to be one of them. You don't just bring a guy onto campus for no reason. So, he's probably the biggest, the hottest name to watch. There's just not that many guys left in the portal, but Pete Nantz, who I've mentioned on this podcast before, written about, still is. He to me is the most natural fit, you know, the best player left, one of the best players to enter the portal period. But yeah, no word on, you know, what, where he's potentially leaning.
Interesting.
Yes, we shall see. Michigan football recruiting. It was,
can we bash Aaron first? Can recruiting wait? Can we just talk about his movie taste and instead first? I mean, I think that's the more pressing topic at this point.
That's fine. I was saving it for the end. I was going in order of, you know, actual sports news, but that's fine. You know, we brought it.
Yeah. Let's just take a break.
Sure. That's a good idea. So we brought this up. We were talking, the other day, you know, I wrote about it. It appeared on MLive.com today. Mo Wagner, former Michigan basketball player, is in a movie. He's, you know, I didn't know he was in it. My wife watched it on a plane and told me, hey, you know, Mo Wagner's in this movie, Hustle, this Netflix movie starring Adam Sandler. Like, all right, yeah, this is something I can write about. So I watched it. Very good, I thought. And yeah, Mo makes an appearance as a, he plays this, you know, German prospect that's being considered, you know, for the top pick in the NBA draft. Haas is his last name. Yeah, it got us talking about movies a little bit. Ryan, you saw Hustle as well and enjoyed it.
I did. Yeah. I mean, I'm a pretty harsh movie critic. I never seem to like movies as much as other people. I'm more of a TV show guy than a movie guy, but that was one of the best movies I've seen in a long time. I thought it was really well done. Great storyline. And I thought the acting in it was pretty good too. I'm not a huge NBA guy at all. So I was kind of surprised how much at the end, the role in the credits, and it's like all these NBA guys playing themselves. I'm like, oh, that guy's in the NBA. Holy crap. But yeah, no, I thought it was really well done. And I mean, yeah, obviously Adam Sandler didn't have his typical comedy role. And then without even watching the trailer, without anything, Aaron's like, you know what? Adam Sandler's in it. I'll pass. Without even looking into the movie at all. So just very disappointed.
For his demographic, it's very surprising that he doesn't like Adam Sandler. I mean, come on. What's wrong with you?
He's a big basketball guy too. You would think that, and he covered the NBA. You would think that would be right up his alley.
I would probably watch the movie. I never heard of it until you guys brought it up. And then I looked it up and I found out it was only in like select theaters. And like you said, it's on Netflix. I'm not a big fan of Adam Sandler. I never have been. I've seen a bunch of his movies. I don't think he's that funny. I know I'm in the minority in that take or whatever. I've never been like clamoring to see Adam Sandler movie. I see him. It's like, okay, maybe I tend to find that movies he's in are overrated. But I'll probably watch it. It's a sports movie. I tend to watch most sports movies, so maybe eventually I'll watch it. But you know, and I find too, I've seen a handful of Netflix exclusive movies, and I tend to find they're not that great. So, but I'll give it a shot. I you know, if he plays a different role than maybe what I'm used to of him being comedy or whatever, it sounds like he's a little bit more serious here. In that case, it's kind of hard to take him serious then too, because I'm used to seeing him.
Shifted. He has made a career shift now. Uncut Gems. I mean, that was an award-winning movie. Yeah. So it's kind of more along, you know, that, I mean, a more serious role. I mean, but hey, do you? But I see what you mean about the Netflix movies. Sometimes I think the bar is lower for just what gets put on there. But this one is good. But yes, it was just funny because then, you know, the night before, Monday night, actually, you know, I went to the movie. I saw our pal, Brad Galley, you know, the ABC sportscaster. Not in person. Like he was on the screen during part of this, like, you know, promo for like the theater or whatever. I messaged him, hey, saw you. But it's very funny because I like go to like one movie a year. But yes, you know, you guys, you didn't even know what it was. I mean, when I said it was a, you know, movie event of a lifetime, it was the latest Jurassic Park, Jurassic World Dominion.
I heard that was really bad.
Terrible. Very, very disappointing end to this beloved franchise, but time for it to be done. It was absolutely terrible. But yeah, you know, we mentioned Mo Wagner, might as well mention another former Wolverine. That's Jordan Poole. He's one win from becoming the first Wolverine to win an NBA title since.
I'll ask Mr. NBA McMahon.
I'm trying to think. Did Trey Burke win it?
He did not.
No, he didn't. I don't know. Go ahead.
Current Michigan head coach Juwan Howard.
Whoa!
Oh, wow.
Yes, one with the Miami Heat in 2013 and 2012. So yeah, there's been some other, you know, Glenn Rice was before that, 2000. So the Lakers. So yeah, not haven't been too many, but Jordan Poole with the Warriors, one win from getting there, and he's certainly been a contributor. But we'll see. Game 6 in Boston Thursday night. All right, we said we're going to talk some football recruiting. It was a big visit weekend last weekend. I think you remember you teasing that in last week's podcast. You know, kind of how did it go, or what are we looking forward to, you know, this coming weekend?
Yeah, I mean, it sounds like there was a lot of rave reviews from the visits. It hasn't led to any commitments yet, but it has led to a lot of 24/7 sports crystal ball predictions for a few guys. I'm counting 6 guys that have picked up crystal balls to Michigan. I mean, a lot of 3 stars, but again, at this point, you just need to get some momentum from anyone. At this point, there hasn't been a commitment since March, and a lot of their rivals are passing them up pretty quickly. So, and then this weekend, there's even more bigger names that are set to be on tap. A lot of their current commits, maybe that they could put their recruiting hats on and shift some momentum in their favor. So we'll see what happens. But yeah, this is another huge weekend. And I think the highlight of this past weekend is that one of the camps, they brought out a Buckeye, like an old car dressed up in a bunch of Buckeyes that they kind of beat up on a little bit too, maybe a little fun thing for the recruits to do. So yeah, I've a lot of positives coming out of the weekend, but again, it still hasn't led to any commitments. But a lot of these crystal ball predictions, a lot of these guys are set to make their commitments in July. So I expect July to be a big recruiting month. I mean, this month is more for prospects taking their officials, examining all their options, and then they sit down in July, typically around like the July 4th weekend, and make their decisions. So I expect in a few weeks now, Michigan's recruiting class will look a little bit different.
Hopefully a little bit better than a bunch of 3 stars, because I mean, Michigan can land 3 stars, no problem, just by name and everything else, but they've got to be able to land some of these high 4s and, you know, potentially a 5. They've got to do a better job here. I am willing to give them a mulligan this year because, and we talked about this last year, like with the new defensive coordinator, new coaching, some of the new coaches on staff, in a way it kind of resets things. But you're right, they need some momentum. They need a big time recruit to commit, or they need something to happen to kind of get this going again, because yeah, they're losing ground. I mean, right now, what are they, like 20th in the country, 23rd in the country?
No, they're outside 30. They're
even worse. 30, yeah. So even worse. So they got to get something going here. And look, we talked about this. It was expected to take a dip with all the changes in the offseason.
And but again, you can't give them a pass this year. They won the Big Ten championship.
Oh, I know, right?
Last year. They went to the college football playoff. I don't, and their right. head coach is still the same. I get all the other stuff, but you got to find a way to pitch that to these guys. Like, look, we beat Ohio State by double digits. We crushed Iowa in the Big Ten championship. We're building momentum. We're heading the right direction. Here's what you can get at Michigan. So obviously the NIL plays a role, but I mean, yeah, I'd not give them a pass this offseason. Last year, 100%, but this year it's hard to justify they're this slow of a start.
I don't disagree with you. They had a ton of momentum coming out of the season they had, and the championship and the playoff appearance, everything else. But I think some of that was slowed when Jim Harbaugh decided to flirt with the NFL and say that he was interested in going back. You know, I think that's certainly been an issue, I think, with some commits and their parents especially. And then you go ahead and change defensive coordinators and hire some new coaches, and I think you lose a lot of the momentum, unfortunately. And that's the realistic, you know, situation, especially nowadays with recruiting, where commit to schools because of the coaches they develop relationships with, and especially, you know, sometimes the head coach. And when you're unsure what the situation is there, or maybe don't trust the coach, or, you know, or whatever the case may be, that creates waffling. And if there's a more certain situation elsewhere, a kid's going to go there. And then you've got with all the other outside factors now with NIL and everything else. So it's a weird situation. It's an uncertain situation. It's going to be fascinating to watch play out. But yeah, you're right. Michigan totally needs momentum. They had some coming out of the season. They lost it. Somehow they got to find a way to get it back.
Right now, their class sits at 39th overall in the composite 24/7 composite rankings. And this is with their top commit, Raylan Wilson, who's coming off an official visit to Florida that he absolutely raved about, 10 out of 10. he'll be in Ann Arbor this weekend for this big visit weekend, and then head to Georgia for his last official of the month. So yeah, if they lose him, I mean, they're looking at outside the top 50 maybe. So obviously a lot of time until early signing day, but man, yeah, they're struggling right now, and we'll see if they can continue to build momentum with a lot of these guys that they seem to move the needle with a little bit during the last weekend's official visits.
Yeah, the winds certainly seem to be shifting with Wilson. You know, if I had a bet, I'd say he probably flips by the time it's all said and done. But again, it's another opportunity for him to come on campus in Michigan to kind of seal the deal with him and convince him this is the place to be. You don't need to go anywhere else. But yeah, if he flips, it's certainly another negative for their recruiting, you know, this year.
Bookend the episode with Michigan losing its baseball coach and not being able to get a football recruit. But hey, in between, there was some positivity for Michigan fans, I guess. But all right, stay tuned for continued coverage of all things Michigan sports on MLive.com/Wolverines. Thanks for listening.